UMD does a lot of outreach into the community, and UMD is also, of course, involved, as are many colleges and universities, with what are called non-traditional students. UMD has a large community of veterans, and just earlier this week, a few days back, UMD hosted an interactive forum presented by the UMD Veterans Task Force. Bill Payne is the dean of the School of Fine Arts, and he was also involved in bringing this forum to the university, and he joins us in the studio to talk about it a little bit. Hey, Bill, good morning.
Good morning, Lisa. How are you?
So I think what was really cool is you kind of had a forum, if I'm understanding it correctly, you kind of had a forum that said, hey, veterans, how are we doing?
The task force was formed in early 2015 at the request of members of the Commander David R. Wheat Heroes Fund, which is a combination of faculty and staff at UMD and various representatives from the veterans community across the region. And there had been some issues that were problematic for military service members on UMD's campus. So we took Rick Smith and I took the issues to the chancellor and said we should look into this. We are a veteran-friendly campus, but we want to be more so. And so he formed the task force, and we did a lot of research in the early stages, the first half of 2015, and then we did a survey of our military service members and figured out where they were at, how they were feeling. We reached out to various constituents in the community to find out their perceptions, and the forum was really the result of it all to report back to the UMD community, hey, how are we doing? And you know, we've had some success. We've had some things that we need to work on. But
I've got to ask, what were some of the things that the veterans said, yeah, this isn't working well for us?
One of the challenging things for all campuses with regards to military service experience is how do you transfer that into course credit? And because our military service members are trained in a variety of different capacities, more than you would imagine, with regards to serving the military. And so how those experiences or those actual classes get converted into course credit is a tricky question. This is a tricky question for any time that a faculty member is saying, oh, you took this class over there, does it equal these credits we're going to issue here? It's an important question for faculty and programs because you need to make sure that the material's been covered. And so we at least moved in a direction of best practice from around the country to look at the ways that other institutions are transferring military experience into credits. And this is something that's not done, that's not completed yet. We really need to continue to look at this.
I was just thinking what a fascinating, and I don't mean to diminish the nuisance factor of it for anybody, but what a fascinating idea. And would it make, as you look at the big picture, would it make sense for states, for example, to say, to kind of set a baseline, or is it really a problem that kind of has to be addressed with each university looking at each individual's training and trying to make those decisions on a case-by-case basis?
I would say it has to be individual to the campus, almost individual to the program, because one program in communications is different than another program in communications, and figuring out what they've set up as a course of study and where the experience of the military member would fit in is really a problem for the home department. And so this, what we're trying to do is it's a finite group of trainings in both directions. It should be a challenge that we can meet over time by creating a list of here's what the military offers, these are the different types of trainings, and here's how we compute them into course credit. And if we could do that and we could tell a veteran who's interested or a military service member interested in our programs, in a very short period of time, well, here's what we would take for you to come into the program. And it's complicated. It's not because...
No doubt. But by the time you've worked your way to the end of this, it's going to be a similar thing that kids go through when they start college. And here are the way your credits transfer, right, or don't. So it takes a lot of work on the front end.
Right.
But how wonderful for at least veterans and service people to know, we're aware of this, we're working on it, your advisor is going to give you a hand with it, however that goes.
There was one issue that came up right at the beginning of the task force's work in early 2015, where, you know, the benefits come through in checks to the military service member, and then they're sent to the university, and they were being sent to the U of M, as I understand it, and then it would take 2 weeks for it to get to the military service members, where we closed that gap.
Fantastic.
So that as soon as those benefits are available, the service member gets them. And that was a huge victory, because you'd imagine, you know, hey, I'm going to pay you, and you need the money today because your tuition's due.
Right.
Wait 2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Because I'd had to go to the cities first and then get mailed back up here.
So some of that was logistical bureaucracy.
Right.
But there are other things. You know, for instance, the Veterans Club has a small space in the Solon Center. It's not adequate, and space is a big issue on this campus.
Right.
In any way you look at it. And so we're going to work in that need to future plans with regards to any building renovations, any new buildings. One big thing is about educating the UMD campus about what military service involves, what veterans bring back in transition to the campus, and so that's we brought in a speaker, David Christinger. He's an associate lecturer and veteran transition expert from the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point, and he gave a presentation called Bridging the Divide, Finding Ways to Help Military-Connected Students Feel at Home. I think that this is, you know, being a member of a military service family, I'm closer to some of these issues as the son of a veteran and the father of a veteran. But some people don't have any connection to the military at all and don't understand some of the realities of being in the military, of serving abroad, of being in combat, and what that brings back.
Well, and it's a different – the campus is so committed to the idea of diversity, and sometimes we think of diversity in terms of things that we can see about people.
Right.
You know, I can hear that you speak a different language, so whatever, I'm aware of this. But these are people who you may or may not be able to, you know, I mean, unless they're wearing a uniform,
right.
You know, or fatigues, you may not know.
And some choose not to identify as a veteran or a military service member.
Sure.
There are stigmas attached to it. And in that sense, educating people about what it is and in some ways, the great wealth of experience that a veteran or a military service member brings into the classroom, a perspective, that's important. And as we talk about inclusivity, this is another perspective. Oftentimes, these students are older because they've taken time out to serve. And so that's another way in which we have to acknowledge that they're you know, they may be in their late 20s or 30s or 40s, and now they're choosing, after a career or a long stint in the military, to access their benefits. You know, we have an all-volunteer force in the United States, and people choose to join the military, and the military chooses who to choose and have come in and train and serve this country. The issue is not whether you're for or against the military. It's about serving these people who have served the country. Politicians make those decisions about when to use military force.
Right.
We don't, and the military service members don't. They are folks who have chosen
to
serve.
They take a job. They have life experience in that job.
Yeah.
They come back to retrain, you know, perhaps for another career.
Right.
And again, as you and I know, the older you get, the more wealth of experience you have to offer.
Right. And you know, lest we forget that the one thing that military service members choose to do is risk the ultimate sacrifice for their country. And in that sense, that's a big decision. A lot of young people make that decision. I mean, the wars of the last 15 years have cost us thousands of lives and tens of thousands of people who have various different disabilities because of their service. Some come back unscathed, but still, they made the effort to serve the country. Whatever you'd feel about the the people who put them there, they've made that decision. One of the benefits, because they're not well paid, one of the benefits is the GI Bill, is this education offering. And so all of the institutions that offer education and want to serve this population owe it to them to try to be a place that understands and tries to offer an effective educational experience so that they can gain all of the benefit that they
well,
earn.
Well, and definitely after their experience in the military and working for the government, I would think that anything that any institution can do to cut down on the red tape that they need to wade through is the least we can do, because
yes.
We've all heard those stories and those nightmares. Bill, I hope we have a chance to talk about this again. It's a fascinating topic. We're out of time. I hate it when that happens. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome,
this
and thank you for addressing this issue.
The UMD Veterans Task Force hosted an interactive forum earlier this week to be in touch with military veterans and active duty service folks on campus and let them know what they were doing to address some concerns and get some good things going moving forward.